Something in the water. Something in the water.
And on this month's Soundbite segment with Sauce Magazine, executive editor LaGaya Figueres reports on an interesting concept, collaboration in the food and drink business. Hi, LaGaya.
Hello, Steve.
You know, I thought the restaurant and bar business was really competitive and cutthroat, competing for business, trying to fill seats, wondering what the other guy is doing. So what's this about collaboration?
Oh, they all want to fill their seats, but they all like working together. Everyone wants to work with their friends, and collaboration does offer that opportunity.
Has collaboration among food and drink businesses been going on longer than I suspect?
Probably, yes. I think that one of the first times we really started paying attention was maybe 5 years ago or so, and that was with the local breweries, particularly the craft breweries. We would find them working together to make a product. It would some, you know, special release, one-off, and it gave them, you know, a chance to just to shine in some instances, too. It was before even some of the breweries maybe had a space yet or they weren't open, so they started brewing at someone else's facility, but they were working together, so.
Can you give us a couple examples?
Well, currently, the beer collaborations are still going on. It's very huge. We see them a lot with Perennial Artisan Ales. We see them with Four Hands. Side Project is always collaborating. And then probably the biggest name for St. Louis in terms of, you know, how much they produce would be Schlafly. And their new Ibex series is a lot about collaboration. Really neat.
Who benefits most in a collaboration? Is that for the businesses to make more money, or does the customer win too?
Ooh, good question. We definitely benefit. The people who are looking for something different, the consumer who's looking for something different, you're going to benefit. But I think for those who are producing and working together with another business, that's a chance for creativity to hang out with someone else that you respect, to put two heads together. So I think we all benefit from that.
And you say as a result of this collaboration, you use the term hyper-local.
We do.
Food and drink.
Absolutely. These are the ones that we're going to talk about today are very hyper-local. And don't think this is just happening in St. Louis. This is happening around the country. But if we think about how much we are supporting local lately, when you find two local businesses, frequently these are going to already be independently owned small businesses. They're going to probably be using local product. Maybe one, you know, one is making one is making another, and they put their heads together and make another one. It's very exciting.
Well, to illustrate that point more clearly, you were nice enough to bring along a couple of guests, both of whom I think you've written about in Sauce Magazine.
Yes, we have.
Right? Christine Meyer is the co-owner of Kitchen Culture. Hi, Chris.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
And Scott Carey is here. He's the owner of Sump Coffee, which is down on Jefferson, south of Cherokee. Hi, Scott. How are you?
Hi. Good. Thanks.
Tell me a little bit about your business. Chris, let me start with you. You're not a food. You don't have a brick and mortar building. You're not a food truck. So explain exactly how you work.
We originally started at Targo Farmers Market.
You're still there every week during the summer,
yes.
Right?
So it's a seasonal market. It runs from May until November. This is our fourth season there. It's a great market. It's very strict in terms of the producers that are allowed in the market. So it's all organic. It's all local. It's a great assortment of farmers and then also people that source their products and produce from that.
And does Kitchen Culture have a specialty as far
as? We do prepared foods. So we source everything from the farmers at the market and then come back the following week with a menu from those items.
So I'm guessing the menu could be a wide range of things,
right? It varies,
and
it also increases as the season progresses.
Scott Carey, Sump Coffee.
Yep.
How long have you been open?
We opened December 1st, 2011, so a little over 3 years.
So what makes Sump Coffee different than the corner coffee place I might go on another day?
Well, it's not really a short answer, but what I'd like to say is in general, coffee has more chemical complexity than wine. So something like 700 to 800 compounds lead to the cup of coffee versus wine has 300 to 400. So what we try and do is create an experience on this broad spectrum. We take and carve out a small niche, and then we try and basically share that special or that preciousness that we find in that cup at that sort of niche of the spectrum, and focus almost beyond anything else on coffee. So most time when you have a, if let's say your corner coffee shop, they typically, what they really do is they mean that they have food and maybe thoughtful preparations of coffee. So what we do is only coffee. And so in other markets, I feel like that's an easier discussion to have. People understand. Like, I came from New York. You have your coffee guy and you have your bagel guy or your croissant guy or woman. Here, I think people don't mind going in terms of a destination to find something special, but they kind of want to double up. And maybe that's the success of big box stores.
But is it true that, Scott, that you and Chris have worked together to do some of this collaboration that LaGuy is referring to?
Yep, that's exactly right. So Chris approached us actually early on through a mutual friend, a server at Niche, and said, hey, you're just doing coffee. I do all this other interesting stuff. Maybe we could do some pop-ups.
Why don't you give us an example of maybe a pop-up that you both worked on together and talk about how you collaborated and how that changed things.
So we are presently at Sump every Thursday. We do a lunch. The lunch changes weekly, and we always try to have a vegetarian option. We always try to incorporate Scott's food into some aspect of the menu. That's been going on for, I guess, this is the second year?
Yeah, this is the second season.
And then prior to coffee. That, we did a series of brunches at Sump as well.
Uh-huh. Have you experienced this? And tell me what it's like.
Yes, Thursdays at Sump, we at the office kind of geek out to Thursdays at Sump, and there will generally be someone from Sauce approaching that. No, they're delicious. And actually, for readers of the magazine in the May issue, I did interview Christine's business partner, and he is the chef. And when we were talking about it, I asked him specifically, why did he think that the collaborations appeal to people? And he said, this is a quote, because they're two quality products that aren't normally together. People would normally spend their entire lunch break to get an exceptional cup of coffee. Now they get two quality artisanal products. And as far as the cuisine goes, you guys really run the gamut. I know we've had some really creative, specifically, I would say, from South American and Caribbean inflected food that's just outstanding.
Does working together and collaborating, both of you, you know, if you're in the food business, there's a creative side to you, right, that
sure.
you use and that you enjoy. So how does work collaborating with someone else add to that to you, to the creative side, your artistic side, I guess?
For me, I find inspiration. So I think when you that's one reason we don't do anything besides coffee, because we feel like that's the only thing we do well. And so when you see somebody like Mike and Chris doing something exceptional, it almost makes you want to increase your own personal game. You say, oh, my God, I can't believe that. Like, every week they come, the menu's different. I mean, to me, that would be onerous to change it up, to source stuff, to be presenting something mm-hmm. different. And so that inspires us. Like, how can we re-engage? How can we rethink what we're doing, which is kind of, you know, coffee is a pretty big catch-all, but, like, how can we re-inspire ourselves by seeing someone else do something exceptional?
Of course, Chris, Scott talks about, you know, working with somebody different, which is new for him, but that's something you do on a regular basis.
We do, right. But we also – we try to be selective about who we work with. You want to work with people that have similar values or are using the same quality products that you're using. And Scott definitely falls in that category in terms of what, you know, the passion behind what he's doing and his commitment to quality at the shop.
Who are some of the other businesses that you each have worked with, and maybe give us an example of what you've done or what's been unique about that?
LaGuy mentioned earlier Four Hands. So we've done quite a few events with Four Hands. We've done another brewery would be Civil Life. And then we've worked in spaces, like collaborative spaces with Local Harvest and Jonathan Parker's Wine Shop.
Mm-hmm. What about you?
So I'm probably going to forget people, but Perennial's probably the biggest one. They make the Imperial Stout, and we provide the coffee. We've probably done six different Imperial Stouts with them. We've done stuff with Pastoria. They made a sorbetto with some of our coffee. We've done stuff with Kevin Nashen. He's done a dashi. So the thing that I like about these collaborations, and then, of course, everything we do with Chris and Mike, is that the people we're working with are almost breaking boundaries. Usually people think, oh, dark roasted coffee, I'm going to rub it on something savory. But, for, you know, to give an example, something like what Kevin did to make the dashi, it's just, to me, you wouldn't think about using coffee to do that. Or the fact that when Pastoria and Gerard decided to use the coffee we made to make a sorbetto. They did the sorbetto instead of the gelato because they wanted to not add sugar. And so that's part of like the paradigm of what we do in the shop. So they were like trying to carry that model through, but in a different form factor. So that's what's so inspiring, is that when you hand off something or when you work with somebody, it's not about sharp elbows. It's really about like, how can I not drop the ball? How can I not screw up this other person's sort of passion, dream, intensity? And how can I show it and demonstrate that degree of respect?
So it ups your game, both of you, exactly. I guess.
I feel it does. That's why we do it.
LaGuy, are there other good examples around town of this sort of thing happening?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Well, I think Strange Donuts is a really good example of a company. They're the masters at collaboration. They really do collaborate with everyone. Their donut shop is primarily in Maplewood. You can find them. And they have the Strangers, I think, are still going on. And so Friday nights and I think Saturday night as well. There's generally a collaboration with another chef from around town, and they make these either sweet or savory donuts. But they're collaborating all the time, whether it's events or for a specific donut. And then the other one I would say, you mentioned Gerard, Brasserie Brats is something that happens at Brasserie on the West End on Tuesdays. And for a while, they had been collaborating. I know they did one with Strange Donuts, and they did one with Gorilla Street. So you think you know what a brat is? Well, try a Filipino-style brat. You know, try this funky donut, Brad.
We did one with them where they actually took the coffee and pulled espresso shots, like 25, 30 espresso shots to make a mole.
Do you guys have anything interesting coming up? Chris, I know that Kitchen Culture, I'm not sure if you mentioned it or not, Saturdays at the Farmer Market.
Correct, yes.
So that's going on now.
And then we're at Sump every Thursday.
Would you ever like a brick-and-mortar store?
We would love one, yes.
Do you have
one?
We
would love one. Yeah, we're shopping.
Not that I can help you.
Yeah.
But, okay.
Thanks.
Are there some events coming up, LaGuy, collaborations that maybe our listeners might like to know about?
Sure, I think so. There's so much coming up. This Monday, May 18th, it's called Duck Duck Goose, and it's Unsung Heroes Dinner and Culinary Competition. It's at Cello at the Four Seasons. This one is neat because oftentimes we hear of the executive chef or the chef owner. And in this case, you have multiple sous chefs who are going to be showcasing their talents. You can get ticket information from Cello at the Four Seasons on that. Wednesday, May 27th. This is really neat for anyone who loves dining out and they want to be first somewhere. It's a speakeasy dinner series between Reed's American Table. This is a highly anticipated restaurant opening this summer in Maplewood. And it's going to be held at the Gin Room at Cafe Natasha's. So again, Wednesday, May 27th, you'd get your tickets at Cafe Natasha's. But this is three top people: Matt Doaday, who's opening the restaurant, Andre Ivanov, who is one of our top sommeliers, and Natasha from Cafe Natasha's. Finally, I would say, big bang up, Monday, July 27th, there is a dinner at Sydney Street Cafe. Collaboration-wise, we've got 9 chefs who are going to be working on this dinner. This one is to benefit Share Our Strength St. Louis No Kids Hunger campaign. And if you want ticket information, I think Sydney Street's Facebook page would have that. But that would be an exciting one to attend as well.
And go to stlpublicradio.org/cityscape for more information on what we've been talking about. Chris Meyer is the co-owner of Kitchen Culture. We'll look for you Saturdays in Farmers Market.
Thank you so much.
And at Sump?
Yes.
On what days?
Yes. Thursday at noon.
Thursday noon.
Every
and
Thursday.
Wherever else you might pop up, right?
Right.
And Scott Carey is the owner of Sump Coffee. That's on Jefferson, south of Cherokee. Scott, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And LaGuy Figueres is the executive editor of Sauce Magazine, which is on the stands right now, and they can read some about this now, right?
Read all about it. Yes, we've got some cool coffee drink things in there. We've got Kitchen Culture Talk. Read the whole issue.
Thank you. We'll see you next month.
Sounds good.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Coming up next week on Cityscape, we're going to take a look at Shakespeare Festival of St. Louis's 2015 production of Antony and Cleopatra, then join Don Marsh Monday for St. Louis on the Air for a discussion of what was and was not accomplished in this session of the Missouri State Legislature that ends today. Archived versions of past Cityscape programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/cityscape. Cityscape is produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer, with assistance from Evita Caldwell, Aaron Dorr, and Katie Cook. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. Cityscape is made possible in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. Cityscape is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. I'm Steve Potter. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.